Chelsea marched through to the knockout stage after a late victory in Rennes.
And it comes to Hakim Ziyech, and Ziyech plays the ball on, and Timo Werner with a chance to win it, only hits his shot at the goalkeeper, but followed in, and the header into the back of the net by Olivier Giroud as we pass the 90-minute mark.
Manchester United get their revenge over Istanbul Başakşehir here.
And Mason Greenwood is away on the right. He's got Daniel James in the middle. He's teed him up. Daniel James for four. And United finish it off. And they've re-established their three-goal advantage. Manchester United four. Istanbul Başakşehir here one.
Meanwhile, a Messi-less Barcelona cruise past Dinamo Kiev.
Jordi Alba back to Griezmann, surely 4-0. It is wonderful finish from substitute Antoine Griezmann, and Barcelona are flying out of this group.
Sevilla and Juventus also progress after late goals sent them through. We'll react to all of the night's action, plus hear from some of the key protagonists. Welcome along, I'm Rod Daly, and we're going to be looking back on a brilliant night's worth of action on match day four of the Champions League. I'm joined by commentators Mike Sewell and Jackie Oley, and we've also got European football expert Kevin Hatchard. Kevin, you can kick us off. Brilliant night, late goals, late drama, and teams getting through to the knockouts.
Yes, sensational performances individually. Erling Haaland coming to the fore yet again. Juventus grinding a win out against Ferencvaros. And I think what we're seeing, Rob, is even teams who are not necessarily hitting the heights on a regular basis domestically, they have such experience that what they can do is, even if it's not quite working for them, they can find a way to win. And I think we're starting to see that with some of the big clubs against some of the clubs that have a little bit of naivety and maybe not that experience at this level.
OK, it's time to get the three-word match reports, almost headlines for the game. Jackie Oley was watching Dinamo Kiev versus Barcelona. Jackie, your three-word match report. An explainer as well, please.
Brathwaite's Barca brace. You can probably guess why I've gone with that, and that is because Martin Brathwaite, the Denmark international striker, scored his first two Champions League goals for the club, having signed in February from Leganés. One goal in 17 for Barca before tonight. Now it's 3-18. Sounds rather better ratio, don't you think?
Certainly does. Thank you very much, Jackie. Okay, Mike, you're next up. Manchester United versus Istanbul Başakşehir here.
Comfortable, sometimes clunky.
I like it.
I've just come up with that in about 60 seconds. I couldn't think of anything else.
We'll take that, Mike, and we'll come back to you for greater in-depth analysis on United's win at Old Trafford. But let's start with one of the early kickoffs in France, where Rennes took on Chelsea.
All of a sudden, the ball is played forward, and Chelsea have a run-in on goal, and it's Callum Hudson-Odoi. It was a glorious ball over the top. They broke the offside trap, and Callum Hudson-Odoi advances to the edge of the penalty area, rolls the ball under Gomez, and Chelsea have the lead. It's Rennes 0, Chelsea 1. It's another corner to the French side, taken by Bourigaud, and the header is in! Brilliantly met! It's Guirassy at the near post who jumps and flashes an unstoppable header beyond Edouard Mondi into the back of the net, and Rennes have deserved that. It's Rennes 1, Chelsea 1. And it comes to Hakim Ziyech, and Ziyech plays the ball on, and Timo Werner with a chance to win it, only hits his shot at the goalkeeper, but followed in, and the header into the back of the net by Olivier Giroud as we pass the 90-minute mark. Chelsea rescue themselves and are heading into the knockout stages of this season's UEFA Champions League.
John Bradley with the commentary there. We actually had a weird situation whereby, because Chelsea and Sevilla were both drawing, they were stopping each other almost qualifying for the round of 16, but they both scored late.
Yeah.
And both secured their spot in the round of 16. We'll start with Chelsea. Frank Lampard will be delighted to have their qualification and he'll want to win the group, but qualification done and dusted.
Yeah, he will. And I think he'll be really pleased with the way that his team found a way to win. They made chances. throughout the first half, but they had a spell in that second half where they fell a bit short. They allowed Ren back into the game. When Ren's equaliser came, it was deserved. And yet, you have guys like Olivier Giroud, who is so experienced. There is a reason why Didier Deschamps, the coach of France, picks him on such a regular basis. There is a reason why he's closing in on Thierry Henry as the all-time top scorer for his country. Because he is reliable, because he has that experience. And when a chance falls to him to win a game, more often than not, he will snap it up. And even though it's a young Chelsea team, even though it's a team that's learning all the time, they do have that core of experience to kind of plot their way through situations like this.
We'll hear from Frank Lampard in a moment. But it's been talked this week, and Lampard was asked, you know, what does the future hold for Olivier Giroud? Tammy Abraham's really been playing up front, even if he doesn't, you'd probably have Timo Werner up front. Yeah. He's been playing wide left. Do you think there is still a place throughout the whole season in this Chelsea squad for Olivier Giroud?
That's a decision, I think, for the coach and I think for the player to make together. Because I think there has to be a certain honesty. And I think Frank Lampard is very good like that with his players. He's very open with them, I think. I think you see that in interviews. And because he's been a player himself, and because that's what he would have wanted from his coaches. And Giroud, yes, he is a favourite of Deschamps, but he knows if he barely plays any football between now and the end of the season, that puts his place at the European Championships at risk. And so, therefore, they've got to make a decision between them about how many games realistically is he going to play. So I think it's entirely possible that he could move on.
Let's hear from the Chelsea boss, Frank Lampard, who reacted to his side progressing from the group.
I'm pleased because I knew the match would be very difficult and I wanted to qualify, but coming here against a strong team was going to be tough for us. We played on Saturday, we play a lot of games at the moment, so our focus had to be on this game alone to try and qualify, which we did. I can't ask for more from the players. The players that started, we started the game very well. When I had to make changes, the subs that came in, Giroud gets his goal, which is fantastic for him. And N'Golo Kante was fantastic. Kai Havertz comes back into the team after COVID. So lots of big positives for us tonight and we have to keep moving forward.
He also said after the game, Kev, Giroud will get minutes because of the amount of games. You saw the reaction to his goal and that just wasn't because it was a late winner. It shows what he does day to day and what he means to the team. I mean, that squad, yeah, 10 points at the moment, joint top of the group with Sevilla on 10, is pretty stacked. I mean,
yes.
That is a phenomenal group of players that Frank Lampard has at his disposal right now. And it's showing in the Premier League as well.
But also, there's, you know, sometimes, you know, we look at formations, we look at systems, we look at ways of playing. But there are still some fundamental truths in football. And one of them is if you have a very reliable, very solid goalkeeper, it goes a long way. And I think since Edouard Mendy has come into the team, he has this quiet authority. And you see that, and it's no coincidence that they're conceding fewer goals, made some important saves. He's made important saves ever since he got there. And I think what that does then is it gives the defensive unit in front of him much more confidence. Then that gives the midfield confidence because they're not constantly looking over the shoulder thinking, ah, we better go and cover them just in case something happens. And therefore it seeps through the whole team. They've got incredible, and I mean incredible, individual quality. And now we're starting to see the team come through.
Well, we saw Kai Havertz return as a sub after he recovered from COVID-19. Despite the fact they did concede tonight six clean sheets in eight games for Chelsea, and they have won six matches in a row. Disappointment for Rennes in their debut Champions League season. They're still looking for the first win in the competition. Sevilla, meanwhile, well, they knew that if they won and Rennes didn't, they'd be through. If they drew and Rennes lost, they'd be through. So Giroud's goal was already putting them through before Meunier smashed in a winner in added time. Lovely goal from Ivan Rakitic.
Oh, what a hit that was.
Pretty nice.
Beautiful technique. And again, this comes back to the same theme, Rob. It's about teams with experience finding a way to win. And you look at that incredible hit from Rakitic. The game was tight. Krasnodar, to their credit, came back. Finally had some of their injured players back, so that helped. But again, when the game's on the line, that chance falls to Meunier and he puts it away. And that's what the experienced, strong teams do.
Chelsea go to Sevilla next, and effectively whoever wins that game wins the group because they drew 0-0 at Stamford Bridge on match day one. Quickly, Kev, did Chelsea go full pelt with the 11? for that one?
Yes, they absolutely do. They absolutely do, because I think it's important for them psychologically to win the group. And basic truth is you face a second place team in the next phase. So I think it is very important to go hell for leather and try and win that game.
OK, to Old Trafford now, where Manchester United took on Istanbul Başakşehir here.
Headed out to the edge of the air, Bruno Fernandes rifles it into the roof of the Başakşehir net. And inside 7 minutes, Manchester United take the lead. Crossed in by Telles, into the area, Cavani goes up. Oh, the goalkeeper has completely made a mess of it. And Bruno Fernandes just tucks the ball away, gratefully. Rashford, who goes down under a challenge, and the referee has not hesitated in giving United a penalty. Rashford hesitates, then skips to his left, hesitates again, and right-footed just plants the ball along the floor confidently to beat Günok. 10 minutes left to half-time, and United already lead by 3-0. The free kick's from Tarouche, and it's palmed away by De Gea, right on his line. It may well have even crossed the line.
Yeah, I think it has.
It's been given as a goal.
It was a really good hit, really well-worked free kick from Başakşehir here.
And Mason Greenwood is away on the right. He's got Daniel James in the middle. He's teed him up. Daniel James for four, and United finish it off. And they've re-established their 3-goal advantage. Manchester United 4, Istanbul Başakşehir 1.
A convincing scoreline in the end, but some wobbly moments for United in that second half. But when you've got a player like Bruno Fernandes, it is a lot easier. Twice on the score sheet. Let's hear from the Portuguese international, who is pleased about an important win.
Every win is important, but of course we know today maybe is one of that games you have to win to go forward, to be in the top of the table where we want to be, and to be a step closer from the go forward in the Champions League. I think we create more than other games, but we don't score like in other games. But it doesn't matter. The point is like the team is doing really well, and we need to keep forward, looking forward in doing good things like today.
I'm not a massive fan of the stat goal involvement, which is just adding goals and assists together, but Bruno Fernandes has been directly involved in 34 goals in 35 games. That's pretty good. 21 goals, 13 assists.
So I love ice hockey, so I'm happy to do that. I'm used to doing that. He's one of my favourite players, and the reason for it is that he is constantly trying to affect the game. Give me the ball. Get out of my way. Let me have a shot. Let me do something to affect the game. He's always trying to do it. And that's fine, but then you need the talent to back it up. And boy, has he got that. The technique for the first goal is outrageous. He hits it so sweetly on the half volley. The poor old defender, Epuriano, gets a flick on the ball and thinks, well, I've cleared the penalty area. That's okay. Oh, because he thinks he's done enough. And then Fernandes, like lightning, is onto it. And it's such a good hit. And that set the tone for that first half. United lost their way in the second half, but that moment got them going, and that's what he does.
Mike Shaw was our commentator for this one, and he joined us now. Mike, what did you think of United's performance?
Well, I thought, like Kevin said, that first half performance was dominant, and at times they looked electrifying. They looked really impressive, and it just feels like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's got it there, and they can unlock it, but then they seem to let the door shut again. Do you know what I mean? And they're flowing, but come the second half, and I think it made a difference when they took off the likes of Fernandes. He made that triple substitution, didn't he? And Rashford and Fernandes both went off, and they just lost that vigour, that verve that they had in the first half. And okay, he needed to do that because he wanted to keep his players fresh for the weekend game against Southampton. But if United played like that for a whole, and I know they can't play that much energy for the entire game, but if they could play like that for much of the match, they would be a very difficult team to play against, even some of the better teams in the UEFA Champions League.
It was a really good start. They set the marker. They played quick football. Combinations were nice. Movement was good. Some really nice tricks and flicks. And tricks and flicks are all very well as long as they work, but there was a conviction about them in the opening exchanges. And Başakşehir here found it really difficult to contain them early on. Once the second goal goes in, Başakşehir here were invited back into the game and started to think, ah, if we press, we can win this ball in their half. If we combine, we can find some space. And so that's when the game started to swing a little bit towards the Turkish champions. That said, there were some things that I think going forward for United are quite encouraging. First, his performance from Edinson Cavani. Didn't score, but I think he's a threat in the air that they didn't have before. So his movement gives them an option and also drags a defender away. So if you've got Alex Telles, who's got a wonderful left foot, if he's winding one up and you've got Cavani, he's already causing problems in the defence because he's on the move all the time trying to get on the end of that cross. And that's where the second goal comes from, because Telles has got it out wide. He sees Cavani making the run and thinks, right, I've got a target. I'll get that ball in early. And even though it clears Cavani, Mert Günok comes out, makes an absolute mess of catching the cross, and it leads to the second goal. And Telles' performance, I think, is encouraging going forward. Because his delivery is so good with the left foot, I think he's going to get bags and bags of assists with this team going forward.
And the other thing about Cavani as well is that I love the way he just drops off sometimes and just lays the ball. There were some lovely little layoffs in the
he
first half.
He did for that goal, didn't he? That second goal.
And there was a couple of... Was it the goal that was disallowed, where there was a lovely movement?
Yes.
And he was involved. Nice little flick with the outside of his right boot. Rashford scored, but was just marginally offside. He does give them an added dimension with that, and what Kevin was talking about, being quite dominant in the air when he's given that supply.
Do you think it's put the question in Solskjaer's mind about whether to give Cavani a run in the Premier League as the out-and-out striker? Because that's a position that Martial's really held since Lukaku left.
Yeah, but Martial has not been hitting the goals like he was last season, has he? And it makes you wonder at this point whether, having given him his full debut and he's played reasonably well, whether he should give him that opportunity even as early as Southampton and keep Martial in the team and maybe play with the same front four that he played today, with Martial out wide, Rashford out wide, and Fernandes just behind Cavani.
Elsewhere in that group tonight, by the way, Paris Saint-Germain have beaten Leipzig by a goal to nil. An early penalty for Neymar deciding that one in the French capital. It now leaves the group like this. United on 9 points, Paris on 6, Leipzig on 6, Istanbul, Başakşehir on 3. So no one's through yet. By my maths, because United won at Paris on match day one, if they draw at Old Trafford, they'll be 3 points ahead of Paris, and therefore they can't qualify,
yeah,
and United would be through. Then you could have Leipzig beating Istanbul, Başakşehir, going above Paris Saint-Germain, and then facing a reserve United team if he does rotate. I know there's a few leaps there, but it certainly is suddenly, Mike, a very interesting group, and Manchester United find themselves in quite a nice position in it.
I haven't got the tail in front of me. Can Başakşehir still do it?
They can.
From where they're,
yeah, they
from
can.
Their position?
They're 3 points. They're 3 points behind Paris and Leipzig, so they can still end up with 9. Everyone could end up with 9, I think, which would be ridiculous.
I think the danger for Leipzig, actually, and they'll be really disappointed with how this game in Paris went, because they didn't create enough. They had lots of possession, didn't really create too much. A header from Yusuf Poulsen in the second half that he couldn't get on target. The danger is Başakşehir, because the temptation is to think, well, that's the easy bit, and then you've got United at the end. Actually, in a strange way, that could be an even harder game, because we've seen in this game against United what Başakşehir are capable of, and Leipzig are not producing many complete performances. You look at their game at the weekend in the Bundesliga, patches where they played really well against Frankfurt, patches where they really didn't. And they came away from that game with a draw. And I think that's a really big test for them, that game against Başakşehir here in Turkey.
OK, so next up, it's United, Paris and Istanbul, Başakşehir versus Leipzig on match day 5 next month. OK, now keep your eyes peeled on UEFA.com for early next week, because it's almost time to pick your team of the year for 2020. It's a 50-man shortlist that will be revealed very soon. 5 keepers, 15 defenders, 15 midfielders and 15 forwards. But it's up to you to select the final 11. The team from last year wasn't bad. Alisson, Alexander-Arnold, De Ligt, Van Dijk, Robertson, De Jong, De Bruyne, Mane, Lewandowski, Ronaldo, Messi is pretty good. Head over to UEFA.com early next week to see the shortlist for 2020. It's always great fun. And vote for your 11. If you do, you'll also have the chance to win some great prizes. OK, let's go to another group. Group G, because Barcelona, along with Chelsea and Sevilla, are into the round of 16. Jackie Oatley watched this one for us. And Jackie, how did Barcelona do it?
Well, they did it with four second-half goals. They had plenty of possession in the first half, but they really lacked that killer final ball to really slice open the Dynamo Kiev defence. But the first goal came 7 minutes into the second half, and it was their US international, one of them, because the second one came onto the pitch a little later, Serginho Dest, who was a real prospect, the 20-year-old former Ajax right-back. Absolutely fantastic performance from him. After a neat move, he finished off the move with a low right-footed strike into the far left-hand side of the net. And then it was a case of Martin Brathwaite taking over. He's a player who really hasn't had too many opportunities this season. He scored one goal in 17 in all competitions since signing, but he's only played 90 minutes once for them, and that's the game that he scored in. That was in a 4-0 victory away at Mallorca in June, and he played 90 minutes again tonight, and he scored twice, the second one a penalty, the first one from a yard out after a well-worked corner routine which saw Oscar Minguez flicking on a header from a corner. And then Antoine Griezmann managed to finish things off, 92 minutes played, and it was another really well-worked move, and the French substitute with a control and left-footed finish into the bottom right-hand corner of the net. And it was no more than Barcelona deserved in the end, but Dynamo Kiev feeling a little bit sorry for themselves. They had competed, they just didn't have enough in the final third to really test the goalkeeper.
Jackie, how satisfying will that win be, given that Barcelona were beaten at the weekend? They were pretty toothless against Atletico. They have this injury crisis, no Pique, no Umtiti. They rested De Jong and Messi, but they still managed to get 3 points, which has them on maximum points.
Yeah, incredibly encouraging for them. It has been a pretty desperate season by their standards. I mean, you look at La Liga and the table, and they're down in 13th. Yes, they've only played 8 games. Some teams have played 10, but it really hasn't been the Barcelona that we're used to. They're not competing at the top end of the table, but some real positives for them tonight. I talked about Dest, who looks to be a real find, honestly. Absolutely fantastic he was from right back. Have had an assist as well, but Ricky Puig, substitute, managed to sky the ball from around 12 yards out. And another positive for them, the 21-year-old centre-half Oscar Minguesa on his senior debut, making it from the start in the Champions League tonight. He's come through the ranks at Barca. He looks to be somebody who could be very useful in that position, bearing in mind all the issues they have at centre-half, with so many injuries, and Gerard Pique being the latest one of them, and Umtiti's out injured as well. Ronald Araujo has a hamstring injury, and he's out for a little while. So they have a few problems, but Alenia was fantastic for them in midfield. They had Pedri, who turns 18 tomorrow, getting some game time as well. And Brathwaite could well be a real fillip for them, bearing in mind that they thought perhaps he wasn't going to be much of a long-term prospect. I mean, he is 29 years of age, but he has a huge amount of experience playing international football previously for Denmark. He's been around the block, of course, but he just hasn't had too many opportunities. So plenty of reasons for them to be positive tonight.
Especially with Fati out as well for 4 months. Jackie, thank you very much indeed. To Barcelona through, along with Juventus. Juventus leaving it very late. A draw wasn't going to be enough for them to qualify to the next round of the Champions League, but they got a winner in added time through Morata, having fallen behind. Ronaldo scored, by the way. I think he has 64 group stage goals, which alone would put him sixth on the all-time record goal scorers list in the Champions League. Let's hear from his teammate and defender, Matthias De Ligt.
Yeah, in the end, we were really happy with the win, but obviously it's not the way we wanted to win. I think the Ferencváros made a great game. They had a clear plan, and we failed to do the things we had to do today to show that we are much better than them. And I think compliments to them, but also we have to look to ourselves what we can improve.
De Ligt, their only fit central defender, and they were a bit wobbly at the back at times, Juventus tonight, but they'll be delighted to have got this done and dusted.
It's really important for them because Serie A has been a bit up and down. They've not lost yet, but they've drawn a lot of games. They've dropped points that in games that they wouldn't normally, but this is a learning process. You've got a coach who, as a player, Andrea Pirlo was magnificent, but he is inexperienced as a coach. So he's learning, his players are getting used to what he wants. But again, you know, the theme that's running through the show, experienced players, even when it's not going well, even when in general maybe it's not quite clicking in the way they would want it to, find a way to win. And I think Alvaro Morata has been an incredible signing for them. And he's always been a guy that if he feels trusted, if he feels comfortable, that's when you see his best football. And I think he's been terrific since he's got there.
Five goals, I think, in the Champions League now this season. Came off the bench to get the winner. Barca 12 points, Juve 9. Ferencváros and Dynamo Kiev both out. Can't progress in the Champions League. Barca go to Hungary next. Juve host Dynamo Kiev. There is one more group to get through, and that is Group F. Borussia Dortmund beating Club Brugge by 3-0. 2 goals for Haaland. He's on 16 in 12 Champions League career games. The most after that many games. Jadon Sancho, I love this one. It's the first Englishman to score. It's niche, Kev, admittedly. Jadon Sancho is the first Englishman to score a direct free kick in the Champions League whilst playing for a non-English side since David Beckham for Real Madrid.
We like niche. Niche is fine.
We certainly do. October 2005, that, by the way. Sancho, one of four players born in the UK who started for Dortmund tonight. One of them was Jude Bellingham.
After the disappointment against Lazio, you know, not just as a team, but personally, you know, I know my levels and I'm a far better player than that, and I think I showed that tonight. Yeah, so I was, before the game, I was just really eager to get out there and, you know, show the real me. I thought we were brilliant all over the pitch. I thought, you know, on transition, we won the ball back nicely. We were very organised. Even when they got past our initial press, that was still quite good. We moved the ball brilliantly and created some great openings. I think, you know, the two goals are superb. So it's just something we've got to carry on doing and something we have done since the start of the season.
Young and confident, like many at Dortmund, the four British-born players.
So Jadon Sancho, yep. Jude Bellingham,
yep.
Gio Reyna.
Yes, that's the tricky
and
one.
And Erling Haaland.
That's right. Reyna born in Sunderland. Great result tonight in Haaland. Again, doing it, Kev.
Yeah, and he now has 23 goals in 18 games for club and country this season. He is truly remarkable. And there's definitely an air of Zlatan Ibrahimovic about him. In his aura, not just the stature, not just the different ways that he scores goals, not just the relentless brilliance, but that aura. And he's already a player that they look to all the time. He turns up in big games. He scores against tough defences. He scores against defences that he finds life easy against. He's just a remarkable young player and a remarkable young man.
And another player, Kev, quickly to mention, who couldn't quite hold it together as the number nine at Borussia Dortmund, Ciro Immobile, scoring 2 goals again for Lazio tonight on his return to the Champions League in a win over Zenit.
And I think he's now out on his own as Lazio's second top goal scorer of all time.
Wow.
So terrific from him.
A reminder to join us on Wednesday night from 6:30 CET when we have live commentary of Borussia Mönchengladbach versus Shakhtar in the early kickoff, followed by Inter Real Madrid and extended updates on Liverpool versus Atalanta. Loads of great drama on the way in the Champions League this week. A reminder tonight, through to the round of 16. Chelsea after beating Rennes, Sevilla after beating Krasnodar, Juventus after beating Ferencváros, and Barcelona after beating Dynamo Kiev. Remember, we're with you from 6:30 p.m. CET every single Champions League match day night for live commentary and analysis, and download our podcast shortly after every show using your favourite podcast provider. But for now, from me, Rod Daly, and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.